You just found the Washed Up Walk-Ons. Glad you're here. Most entertaining Iowa podcast out there, but not the most entertaining podcast that's happening in Iowa on Friday. The Pat McAfee Show comes to town to join in on the hype around the Iowa women's basketball team. We talk all about the pre-tournament excitement around Caitlin Clark and the squad as they look to be a number one seed. We also talk about Alberts leaving Nebraska and a bunch of NFL Hawks getting paid in free agency. Let's have a day. Let's go. And welcome back to the Washed Up Walk-Ons podcast. No music, because Kevin said so. Kevin has input on the show. I just want everybody to know that.
I think that's been my one contribution in the last 4 years.
Yeah, to the structure, the process of the intro. No, I just want everybody at this company is heard. Everybody's opinions are valid, taken into consideration. And we throw that in the pot, and we just want the best product. Okay, so here we are. Maybe a quick episode tonight. This one I'm actually going to shift. We did Logan Lee before this, but I think this is going to come out before Logan Lee because we're going to talk about some relevant stuff. We have some Hawkeyes getting paid in the NFL, Kevin.
Couple bags being collected. Couple some checks being cashed.
Some checks about to be cashed. I have a full list of that. We're going to talk about the Iowa women who, of course, at this point, you're hearing this about a week after, 8 days after they won the Big Ten tournament. That's a three-peat from the Hawks and Caitlin Clark and company. And we'll look at some projections for the bracket. ESPN actually has often dog shit, but got a nice little projection page bracketology thing that I'm looking at, which is cool. We can pontificate and ponder on the women's tournament, which I'm actually way more interested in than the men's tournament this year.
For sure, yeah.
Other than Zach Edey, I don't think I could name as many men's basketball players as I could women.
I've watched five times as many women's basketball games as men's basketball games this year.
Yeah. Oh, easy. We're also going to talk about Trev Alberts. Nebraska was building the empire, and now it's all coming crashing down. Have you seen that, Kev?
I did see that. It just broke today, didn't it?
It did. And then finally, we're going to talk a little bit about Pat. Maybe we just start there. Pat McAfee show is coming to Iowa City. Did you see that one?
I did see that. Yeah. He's going to be set up at somewhere downtown, right?
At the field house.
The university field house or the bar, the field house?
No. The university field house.
Oh, that's kind of sick.
I think they're going to pack that gym where we used to play badminton against the Chinese students. And
I was never in badminton club.
Oh, it was me and Bo. It was me and Bo who took on. Yeah. They're going to pack
in that, didn't you?
What?
You guys probably got worked in that, didn't you?
I'll be honest, man. There was some battles. We took our licks, but it was pretty even. Man, these two foreign exchange students from China would give us we got our money's worth. Sweating profusely. I remember it like it was yesterday. It was like at 11:30 a.m. It's like one of those one credit PE courses. Bo and I would go in there and we would just go balls out in this badminton course. It was great.
Yeah, but it was fun, yeah.
2v2, 1v1, we had tournaments. It was fun. Anyway, Pat McAfee and crew is going to be in the house. And in part because of the women's team. It'll be the upcoming Friday that you're listening to this. So you're listening to this on a Monday. Friday, they're going to be here. The women are going to be in town playing as a one seed, the women's tournament, which I kind of like.
Oh, yeah. The top seed of each quadrant, you would say, gets to host the first two rounds, right?
Yeah. So the top, if you're a four seed or better, you get to host the first two games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the 1, 2, 3, and 4 in all four groups of 16 get to host. So Iowa, and it's so sick because, those are some of the best games. Like, you get to see a couple early tournament games. They will likely, they're either going to play, be playing on that Friday, or they're going to be playing the following day on that Saturday. And like, they're literally the Iowa women's basketball team. And I don't know why, but McAfee and their crew has a, some sort of affinity towards the Hawks, Caitlin Clark, partly because she's going to end up in Indiana, I think.
Almost positive, because it's going to be a Indianapolis ball player. Yeah.
And they're buying in. And so they're going to host their show. And when they go on the road, it's a production, dude. So I could imagine they're going to set up in the field house and they're probably going to let people in. And
I mean, it's an ESPN production now.
It's going to be packed.
Yeah.
People in the Discord already arguing like, oh my God, it's going to be a mess over there with all the construction. And like, yeah, who cares, dude? Like, it's going to be
sick. I mean, who's going to be the most of the people there? It's going to be students, and four of the more popular dorms are right there.
Yeah. They're just going to walk.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun. We had several people asking if we're going to bust out the mobile podcast studio and like try and get in on that action. Like if we're going to, somebody asking on Twitter, like, hey, is Pat Anger going to get the boys on the show on Friday? And, you know, we'd love to be there. We'd love to be on that show. We don't have any relevancy to actually make it onto that show. I think they're bringing on Dallas Clark. Maybe I had to text him. I gotta figure out a way on through him. But now that we're buddies,
you know, Pat, you and Pat go way back.
Yeah. I mean, sir, if I needed Pat's number, I could get it. I don't have it, but I could get it through one. There's one. What do they call that? When there's like six
degrees of separation.
Yeah, there's one degree of separation between me and Pat McAfee. Contact wise, contact info wise.
Probably a couple different people though too.
Three. Yeah, three people.
Anger.
I would say probably Dallas, and then the kicking coach, who was, you know, Jamie Cole, who was Pat's kicking coach and family friend of mine. So yeah, I could probably get it multiple different ways. Not going to, but it could. So the walk-ons most likely will not be part of the festivities. I'm not going to bring the mobile podcast unit. It would be a shame. That would be like, you know, the biggest sports podcast in the country comes to town and we try and bring our weak ass production to Iowa City and like, hey, we're going to mooch off of this. Everybody who's excited about the Pat McAfee show, when they finish, the walk-ons are going to be set up right outside the field house.
They've got their like probably 20-man crew.
Yeah.
And then we just show up and like, we got a Gary.
Yeah, we got Gary. We have one camera that's not meant for streaming that we're going to hook up. We're going to have all the wrong cords, and we're going to be shoved in the corner of the if you want to come down the hall of the offices of the health and human physiology professors, we'll be in the corner by the bathroom.
You know, I bet Pat McAfee doesn't have a beer named after him, though.
Probably not, but it probably wouldn't take much if they wanted to get into that.
We're going to take our wins while we got them.
We will. Looking at, let's just go into that, the reason that they're going to be in town. Did you get a chance to watch the championship game the other day?
Yeah, I was able to watch most of it, yeah.
Pretty exciting game.
Yeah, didn't make it easy on ourselves. I don't think we played our best game by any means.
Well, when Caitlin starts out, I don't know, 0-10.
Yeah.
I mean, that's tough. That's tough.
Tough first half shooting. Didn't feel like we rebounded very well either.
Poor.
Yeah.
Especially defensive rebounds, like the ones you're supposed to get.
Yeah.
They were getting
way too many second and third opportunities. I'm not even that smart when it comes to basketball, but I was like, yeah, we should probably pick up a few more of those things.
Yeah. Well, and this is one of the things, and like you said, neither you or I are going to sit here and be great basketball analysts, but there are some pretty simple things. I worry about the Hawks deep it, not, you know, probably neither of the Iowa City games that are going to happen this upcoming weekend as you listen to this, which, by the way, right now, currently as it sits, and I think all of the tournaments are played. So this is just ESPN's projections. Who knows where they actually get put, but this should be pretty close. Currently has Iowa as the one seed, looking like these either. I'm not sure how they orient it, but they're either the second or third overall seed. And they would play one of the play-in games, which is going to be between Sacred Heart or Holy Cross.
I feel pretty confident about that one.
A lot of God going on in that game. So we should play one of those teams. And then they have, and again, this is just the projection from ESPN, the 8-9 game, who would be the other game in Iowa City, is between Florida State and Alabama. So ideally, Iowa should be able to handle both of those teams. Obviously, I don't know anything about Florida State or Alabama, but Iowa should be able to handle that. From there, Oklahoma and Colorado are the 4 and 5 seed potential matchup in the Sweet 16. I just watched Oklahoma get beat bad by Iowa State in the Big 12 tournament. But they are quite a good basketball team. And I'm fairly certain actually that, what's her name? Their coach is an Iowa alum. Actually a coach that a lot of people are hoping takes Bluter's spot, or maybe they have pegged as Bluter's replacement.
Is Bluter going anywhere anytime soon?
I mean, I wouldn't, but she's not young. I mean, she's been doing it for a long time.
She's been doing it very well for a long time too,
though. Well, yeah. That actually brings up another topic that I wanted to hit on quickly tonight is Saban. Saban got a little pub yesterday for making some comments, doing some, I don't know, he's on like Capitol Hill talking about NIL. He was doing really well for a long time too, though. And, you know, he's getting out.
Yeah, he made some money.
Made a little bit.
Won a few games.
Couple. So, you know, Oklahoma, Colorado, whatever matchup you get in that 4-5 slot, whatever region we get put in, that's going to be a difficult game. And that is the game there, starting in the Sweet 16. Obviously, further than that, you get to the Elite Eight. In our bracket projected, the other top seeds would be like a UCLA or a Notre Dame, a Baylor or an Ole Miss. Like, you're going to start to see teams in those Sweet 16 Elite Eight games where I'm a little worried about Iowa's size in a tournament setting. If Caitlin has a bad game and one of these teams catches that tournament magic, that March magic, like, things can get pretty dicey pretty quick for the Iowa team because we do not have good size.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what happened in the championship game last year. Do you agree? It was like,
yeah,
not only did they have the size in us, but they were hot and we just couldn't keep up.
And if Caitlin's on fire, right? If Caitlin's on fire and no one can touch her, and then that starts to open up Stolke and Gabby Marshall can hit a few shots, Kate Martin does her thing, then we can play with anybody. But that's only if Caitlin's on. Because if Caitlin's off, man, we start to get really one-dimensional. And I want these Hawks to at least make it to the Elite Eight again. And man, the Sweet 16 Elite Eight games, just like, I feel like there's going to be some testing going on there.
Any turn, men's or women's turn, man. Once you get in the Sweet 16, anything can happen.
Anything can happen, man. It'd be interesting, though. The other note I had on this is a lot of people now, with Caitlin announcing she's going to the W, is like, it's going to be really interesting to see the fall off, the drop off. Inevitably, there's going to be some amount, even if it's very small, because you're losing arguably, I don't even know if it's arguably, you're losing the greatest offensive player in the history of the sport. So that sucks.
Fall off is natural after that, sure.
Only that, but you're also losing a player in Kate Martin that they call the glue, and Gabby Marshall, who's been a large part of this team. So that's three starters right there.
But didn't we just get a huge recruit?
Got a big recruit. Yesterday was number 12 player in the country for the class of 25, which I guess is the current junior high school class. Her name's Addison Deal, which is a great name for a basketball player. Just dealing. Like, yeah. We need to get on that. And we need to get her. We need walk-ons, and her need to. And she's definitely not a walk-on, but we need to get.
Yeah, walk-ons and number 12 recruit in the country that don't exactly mix.
Don't match up well, but we need
to water there, man.
She's good. I watched her, dude. I watched a high school girl's highlight tape yesterday because I wanted to. Like, I actively sought out this girl's. Like, I'm bought into the women's program recruiting now. I'm not even bought into the Iowa football recruiting, Kevin. And I'm watching high school girls from California basketball tapes. That's how hype it is.
It's been fun. It's been a fun ride. Be easy to get on board.
And so the question is like, Stolke will be great. I think there's a lot of potential in Taylor McCabe, who's a sniper. When you get the ball in her hand, she needs to be able to learn. She has to get better at creating her own shots, both with the ball and without the ball. Sydney Folter has come on really, really well, plays her ass off. I think she's going to be a focal point for the offense and the defense. But then we're going to need one of these recruits that we've gotten good recruits, even in last year's class. Obviously, we've really capitalized here, and there's still more to come. We're trying to land Greenway's daughter, who's like a top 25 player in the 26 class, I think. Has more points than like anyone ever in high school sports because she's been playing varsity since seventh grade.
That would be sick to keep the Greenways in the Iowa family.
Need it, man. Yeah. We need it bad. I mean, there was other than this chick. So this chick yesterday is a 5-star, number 12 in the country. Huge, huge get. Probably plays right away. I'm guessing that if you're, I don't know what the drop off is in the recruiting rankings, but Caitlin came in, started right away, averaged 20, whatever her freshman year. She was the number 3 player in the country. If this chick's number 12, it can't be far off. I'm not saying this girl's going to be Caitlin Clark, but I have to imagine this girl is contending for a starting spot immediately.
Sure.
And then if we can, are we going to stay top 5 like we did all season this year? Probably not. Expectations need to be managed a little bit. But I have high hopes that we can still be a top 15, top 20 team and really push and, you know, grow together. And like, I want so badly Iowa women's basketball to become a staple. I want to be a blue blood.
I mean, you could probably make the argument, I don't know about blue blood, but we've been a ranked team pretty much every year for the last
6 years,
15 years or something like that.
Oh, for 50. Yeah. Oh, we've been good.
Yeah.
I just want to be Alabama good, which means we got to start busting out the McDonald's bags.
I mean, you got to put a few banners up before you're Alabama good.
I know. Yeah. Well,
what Saban did down there is pretty
strong. I mean, we made the Natty last year. It was a start.
That's a start.
So we'll see. Big time recruit. The fact that even Kevin knew that we got a top recruit in the country for our women's basketball program goes to show how much they've really done to grow this, grow their brand. And we'll see where it goes, but it'll be fun that this podcast will come out one day after the actual selection show. So we'll know our matchup. We'll know our second round potential matchup and onward. And the walk-ons will be doing a women's bracket challenge. We'll probably do a men's ones too. Iowa not likely to make the tournament, but we'll do one. But we'll definitely be focused on the women's tournament this year. And the winner, maybe depending on how many people we get, the top 3 to 5 people will like win a prize. Got to be a part of the Patreon to do it. Patreon.com/washupwalkons. Head there now. Your monthly, very small monthly fee, subscription fee, which is a cup of coffee or two. Give up a cup of coffee or two and support the kids. Get in on cool stuff like our fantasy football leagues, the bracket challenges, early access to the video, to the audio of the podcast, discounts on merchandise, other cool shit. Sign up there and you'll be able to participate in the walk-on bracket challenge. We'll try and make that thing massive. If you're Trev Alberts, why do you leave Nebraska? Played there.
First round. Why wouldn't you leave?
Okay, well, if you want to play that angle, yeah, sure. I get. Well, Kev, this is like you. Okay, it's not like you or I. This is like Jack Campbell one day becoming the AD of Iowa and then leaving to become the AD at Michigan 3 years later?
Not quite. Went out of conference.
Okay, leaving to become the AD at Oklahoma, whatever.
Sure, yeah. I don't know, man. Is this
purely a money thing? Is this just Texas oil money?
I'm sure it has a lot to do with that. I'm guessing it also has to do with, like, if you want to build a great athletic program, A&M is a really good place to do it. Like, if you just want to succeed and win championships and win, conference championships, national championships,
be relevant in all things. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. A&M is one of the best places to do it.
You're right.
A&M, not just football, but other sports as well, should be competing for national titles on a yearly basis.
Absolutely. There's no excuses at A&M.
Right. Yeah. There's no lack of recruits, no lack of resources. It's basically, it's like, are you good at your job or not?
Which Trev Alberts has been pretty good at Nebraska. He's been pretty revered as like a great AD for the past 3 years for the Huskers. Two things that I'm seeing on the interwebs. One, their president left to go be at Ohio State. Nebraska's dead. The president is who oversees the athletic director. Also, someone who okays / has a lot of yes or no power on stuff that the athletic director is trying to get done. And if you're an athletic director, you're basically always just trying to get stuff done and improve the university. And if you can't do that, they haven't hired. They just have like an interim president right now, just someone acting as president. And so they're trying to get like a new football stadium project going. They're trying to do a bunch of all other things I saw on this list of tweets. And the rumor is that like Trev was getting pissed. Like Trev can't get anything done because they won't hire a president. And so he's like, screw it, I'm out then. Like I'm going somewhere else. The other thing that I saw was like, or heard was he may be interested in legitimate politics at some point. And that moving up the ranks and like being a highly sought after AD and taking this position at Texas A&M, like you said, potentially one of the best places to go and be an athletic director. Not sure what the actual contract will be money wise, but potentially the highest paid athletic director in the country could be seen as a good move or a good resume builder if you're going to get into the political world.
I guess it depends what type of political world you're going to get into. I mean, if you want big fish, small pond kind of thing, like name carries a whole lot more weight in Nebraska than it does in Texas.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know. I don't know if he's trying to become governor of Texas or if he's trying to. I have no idea. That was just one other thing I saw. It's just interesting. I think it's kind of funny as a Hawkeye fan. Maybe they get someone as good as Trev Alberts and as good and connected and sort of a fit for the university as he was, but maybe they don't. This also, as much as it may or may not, it at some level it maybe creates a little bit of instability inside of the program over there, inside of just the Nebraska.
I mean, I don't know, man. If you like.
Does Matt Rhule now in a couple, like if Matt Rhule goes 7-5 this year and they make a bowl game and somebody comes calling for Matt Rhule, like, damn, he just rebuilt Nebraska in 2-3 years. Does he go and leave now? Because there's, Alberts left, the president left. Who knows?
I don't know, man. I know most ADs give their head coaches a pretty generous leeway to just run their program. So I don't foresee that having any impact on their season whatsoever.
But it could impact Rhule's thinking later on down the road. Who knows?
I mean, he's already got a pretty nice contract. I don't think if he goes 7-5 or 8-4 this year that, someone would have to come with a fat bag to kind of lure him away. And does the AD staying change any of that?
I don't know.
Next AD is probably going to want to pay up to keep him too. So
I know this. You and I need to get into that line of work because there's a lot of money.
Yeah, there is a lot of money, and
there's also a lot of responsibility, and I actually don't want all that. So
yeah, no, I'm actually perfectly fine with the choice I made not to go into coaching.
Have you ever thought about that? Has it ever crossed your mind? Like, there's never been an ounce of like, I should have done that?
Every now and then, like, I miss a sport, obviously, but then I'm like, I do not want to deal with everything that's going on in college sports these days. That just sounds horrible. Like, it already one of the biggest like detractors for me was like recruiting and sucking off some 15 to 17 year old kids. Just made me want to, God damn it. Clip, made me want to kill myself, but that.
Kevin gets canceled.
Son of a bitch. I couldn't stop myself. I knew it was coming.
But you're right though. You do have to go in and kiss ass.
Yes. Right.
Tell these kids how great they are. Hey, you're going to play right away, man.
Yeah. Sounded horrible. But now you're doing it and you're just—it's become like just big. Who can pay more money?
So now you have to go in and kiss their ass and tell them, "Hey, like."
But you're not supposed to tell them, like. Anyway, I'm just—I don't think I would have been. I wouldn't have thrived in that. But.
If it could have been just the actual coaching, it would have been a lot more intriguing.
Oh hell yeah, man! Like, yeah, if you're just doing the coaching where you show up for spring ball, then you show up for camp and you're coaching the X's and O's and technique through the season. And then you get your new crop the next year. It doesn't matter. You don't have no influence on it whatsoever. Yeah. That sounds like an awesome job.
You could have tried to coach in the NFL. It's closer there. That would have been closer.
True. Yeah.
But then you're losing.
But then it's again, like it's a lot more just business like in the NFL
too. I was going to say, so basically for you, most of the pull to coaching was just to simply stay around the game.
Yeah.
I feel you. I mean, it's why strength coach was always a possibility for me.
Sure.
Yeah. But then for me, it was just like, man, the hours, it's just like, there's tough hours. And to be honest, DeMarco kind of put some of that to bed. He's kind of proving that it's not that bad, especially if you get into prove your worth and then you get into a lower tier sort of position. It's not a lower tier position, but it's a lower program. Elon is a D1 program in some sports, but it's otherwise not.
FCS, yeah. D1
to yeah, it's so, and then he kind of controls exactly his own schedule. All like they gave him free reign basically, and he makes a great salary. I mean, I think he's easily.
Yeah, but the other thing about that world too is like, if you want to make real money, you pretty much either got to be the head guy or the number two guy at like a Power 5.
Absolutely.
Football program. Yeah.
Which Nick had to pay his dues, and he was also still is one of the elite. Considered even by his peers, one of the elite in the country. So
yeah, he's definitely a forward thinker and a kind of a thought leader in the industry.
Right. And so, you know, you're right. Like if you're not the head guy at an FCS program, then you're like, even.
Yeah, I mean, like everyone wanted to ooh and ah what Doyle was making, but you know, and when Ray was his number two, Ray was making good money.
Sure.
Beyond that, it's not that great.
There's a bunch of FCS. I know for a fact there's a bunch of FCS head coaches that are like, I don't know if they're getting six figures.
No. D1AA?
I think there's some FCS schools that the head football strength coach is right around.
Strength coach. Okay. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Head coach.
Yeah.
But the strength coach, the head strength.
I'm sure. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's tough. And there's just not. Talk about a competitive job like in the NFL. That's similar. Like if you're going
and to it's, yeah, it's another thing. It's like it's a really cool job, and it attracts a lot of people to want to work in that industry. What does that do? Oversupply of labor brings down wages.
And boy does it, because they work for pennies when you start in that industry, man. Mm-hmm. God, it's not good.
I wonder. I've never done the math, but the hourly rate's got to be abysmal.
For the work that they do, it's not good, man. I think I want to say that I think Lima, I need to text Justin, and I want to have Lima on the show because he would be another good strength coach to have on and just talk about our time at Iowa and all that stuff. But I'm pretty sure he said that it was like mid 30,000s as the assistant, went like way back in like 2013.
Back when we were playing, yeah.
Yeah, so I think it might have, it may have come up into the 40s, but like, dude.
And I think, I can speak for myself when I was an intern, I was probably putting in 50 to 60 hours a week.
Which was about the same as the coaches, right?
Yeah, I mean, Doyle was the last one to show up in the morning.
Well, yeah, of course.
Because he wasn't setting up anything.
Like the assistants, like Cody and
everyone else was pretty much in there at the same time. Yeah,
So you're working 50 to 60 hours a week and you're making 37 grand?
I was making nothing.
Well, you were making nothing.
That was fun.
You're an interesting sort of study there because you actually paid your dues in one of the worst like intern situations ever and didn't use
it. And I'm just like, nah, I'm good.
Hey, but part of it is like, hey, I realize I don't want to do this, you know?
Yeah, no, the experience was valuable, no doubt. But yeah, I mean, if you're working 60 hours a week times, you get a few weeks off during the year, call it 48 weeks.
Usually, yeah, if you divide by two, that's your hourly wage on a 40-hour work week across 50 weeks. So at 38 grand a year, you're making like $19 an hour if you're working 40 hours a week. So if you're working 50 hours a week, it's closer to like 16 or 15 bucks an hour. Dude, that's bad.
So it's like you're working about 2,400 hours a year.
Yep.
So if you're making, say, 35 divided by 2,400. Yeah, you're making less than 15 bucks an hour.
Dude.
And these are guys with undergraduate degrees.
They're working on their doctorates.
Yep, exactly.
Not worth it. Not worth it to me. Tell you what, though. Some people are not making less than $15 an hour.
Hit me. Who's making more than $15 an hour?
Josie Jewell.
Josie Jewell is making more than $15 an hour. That he is. Should we do his hourly rate?
We could do that. We could do that. I don't know how we would – I'm not sure how many hours a day they average.
He has a $7 million signing bonus.
Yeah.
It's going to take him about 10 seconds to sign it.
So that hourly wage is very – that's a very good hourly wage on
that's a pretty good hourly wage.
We talked to the boy
– I'm going
to
beat Bezos' hourly wage.
Ooh, yeah, maybe. At the time of recording this, we just had a conversation with Josie yesterday. And he explained a little bit more in detail some of the contract to us and what he's thinking, time-wise and all that stuff. But Josie signed for a reported $22.75 million for 3 years to the Carolina Panthers with a $7 million signing bonus. Josie will be – my mom texted me last night. And she goes, Josie's leaving Denver? And I was like, well, it's not exactly his choice. Like – but yeah, Josie's going to be a Panther. I might have to get me a jewel, like a jewel jersey with in the black and blue.
The Panthers black unis are pretty sick.
They're sick, dude. Josie, he will be joined, by the way, by Amir Smith-Marset getting a year in Carolina. I'm not sure what he signed for, but is
Davion Nixon still down there?
Oh, that's a good question. Let's bring up the old Panthers depth chart. I would imagine, dude, he was but how about it, man? Josie gets paid. Josie finally gets paid.
I mean, he was getting paid all right in the last couple of years, but this is
another level.
Nice little nightcap towards the end of his career.
You love to see it.
Absolutely.
On the defensive side of the ball for the Carolina Panthers, who, by the way, I mean, I am super happy for Josie Jewell. In fact, they already have Josie slotted in as the starting right inside linebacker. So they must run. Do they run a 3-4? They do run a 3-4. Interesting.
He ran a 3-4 in Denver, too.
Davion Nixon is not on the roster, from what I can tell. Interesting. They've got Amir. Wow, they already have Amir Smith-Marset in the one slot on the depth chart as the punt returner. Good for him. I'm make sure I'm seeing this right, but I don't see Nixon on the roster here. But I do see Josie as the starting right inside linebacker. He'll be in the linebacking other guys such as Amare Barno, Shaq Thompson. Shaq Thompson's good. And DJ Johnson. However, here's the downside to this. The Carolina Panthers are dog shit.
Yeah, very much so.
They're bad.
And that's probably not going to change a whole lot this year.
No, it probably isn't. So Josie, obviously, the sort of the highlight of the class here. I'm not even sure what made yesterday so special. Like, what was it? It was free agency day. Like, what does that mean?
It's the second day of free agency.
So
started on Monday.
And so that means that anyone who wasn't re-signed by their team is now available to
unrestricted. Yep.
Love that.
Who's going to pay me the most money? Yep.
Love that.
I feel like there's a lot of moves this year.
Tons. Dude, yeah. Saquon to the Eagles.
Yep.
Derrick Henry to the Ravens.
Yep.
That'd
be a fun offense to watch, I think.
Oh, God. I can't wait to watch the Ravens.
Yeah, the Ravens are going to be a fun offense to watch.
The Bucks signed Baker for 3 years.
Yep. For $100 million, right?
A lot, dude. A lot of money.
Kirk Cousins to Atlanta.
Atlanta?
For a shit ton of money.
Who else did I see that it's like some of these guys you just think of like I thought of Kirk Cousins as a Viking. Like I just think of him as a Viking and now he's going to be a Falcon. It's so weird.
He started as a Redskin back when they were the Redskins.
You're right. Someone put up his contracts that he signed over the years. Dude, Kirko Cousy has made like
400 milli or something like that.
Closing in on a half billion, dude.
Yeah.
And he probably hasn't made all of that, but like it's close. Anyway, Amir Smith-Marset, I think 1 year for Carolina. Geno Stone.
Geno Stone with a little 15 ball, right?
A little 15 M's. And he'll be crossing the division to the rival Bengals for a two-year contract, $15 million. Love that. Love that for Geno.
Big time.
Had a huge year last year. I believe he was, if he did not finish as the interception leader, he was damn close. Noah Fant, who last year at this time, maybe 2 years ago at this time, got traded to the Seahawks from the Broncos. He gets 2 years for $21
million. Nice little re-up right there.
Dude, that's huge, man. Just a kid from Nebraska. And I need to reach out to him.
That's a dude from Nebraska.
That's not just a kid. He's potentially one of the best
athletes. Josie Jewell is a fucking kid from Iowa.
Just a kid from Iowa. Noah Fant is a dude.
College. Noah Fant was always a dude.
Yeah, you're right. Epinesa, not sure what the dollar value on it. He signs another 2 years with the Bills. Sure, that's pretty decent because he's been playing well for them. Good minutes. Desmond gets another year. He's still hanging around. $2 million for a year with the Texans. Shout out to the snapper. Casey Kreider. I talked to him on the phone yesterday. Signs like a basically what he said is a basically guaranteed contract for a year and
sticking with the Giants,
still with the Giants. And I'm guessing that it's in the range of like 1.5 to 2. And brother, to snap a football,
that's not a bad deal to throw the ball between your legs.
About 10 plays a game, I'm in. Oh, and then Sheriff, $15 million. Guaranteed for the next year in Jacksonville.
Good for him, man. He's been in the league 10 years now, hasn't he?
Yeah, I'm very curious to know Brandon's total career earnings. Brandon.
It's well over 100 mil.
How many guns do you think he owns? A lot.
Not quite 100 mil, but you know, approaching.
Why does it not show me the preview? Oh, here we go. Career earnings. You were spot on. Through his 9 seasons, he at the end of this past season, he eclipsed $100 million. $100,726,000. Add on this contract upcoming, and he will be $116 million.
It's pretty
dude, that's career. So much money, dude.
You can probably retire on that.
You think? He's probably going
to budget accordingly. You can probably retire on that. Yeah.
It's so coming from a pleb, just a little measly peasant like myself, knowing knowing what I would like, what I would do for just $1 million in my bank account to just not in my bank account, but in my investment account, just like that's all I need. That's all I want. I can invest and be frugal on $1 million in my investment account, and I can live on that with my wife and my child. And if there's any other future children, we could be good forever.
Yeah. I mean, you could buy treasury bonds at 4% and have a $40,000 quote unquote salary for the rest of your life.
I mean, I'd still have to work a little bit over the next 10 years or so, but like, God, $117 million.
Just think about it this way: is he could lose $1 million to you, and he probably wouldn't really notice it or affect him very much.
He wouldn't even see it. Dude, he wouldn't even see it. And that's why I'm going to text him. I'm going to get Brandon's contact info. We were never close. We were there for a few months with Brandon Sheriff, but I think I need to send him a text. Maybe a donation just to the brand. Help out the brand.
Send a Venmo request for $1 million.
I'll just start Venmo requesting all of our NFL teammates.
Will you send as soon as all their contracts and negotiations break news.
Just Geno Stone randomly gets a $250,000 request from Tyler Kluver one day. Like, hey, congrats on the contract. Would love a little kickback, man. Give me a former teammate bonus here.
Funny shit, man.
They all deserve it. They all deserve it.
Dude, what's crazy is like, you know, the guys that we're playing with, like, it's like, I mean, is Sheriff, no, it'd be Casey, would be the, is he the current longest tenured Hawk in the league now? Or I guess he didn't play the first couple of years, but is he the oldest Hawk in the league right now?
Official tenure, well, it's probably Micah.
That's right. Yes.
And probably he's probably oldest too. I think Micah is the oldest. I don't think, is Balaga still in the league or did he retire?
I thought he retired.
I thought he did too. And did Riley Reiff retire as well?
I'm fairly certain. Yeah.
And James Ferentz just retired. So I don't think there's anybody longer tenured than Hyde, and he played his senior season in 2012. Casey played his senior season in 2013. Brandon Sheriff played his senior season in 2014. So those would be the oldest three. But then you basically get into everybody that we played with, like, significantly. You get into guys like George and Desmond and guys from our class and then younger than us.
Yeah, but then you're talking, I mean, like, guys in our class are, like, already thinking about retirement.
Yeah, Ike, Josie, Desmond.
We're turning 30 this year, boys.
Ben Neiman. Yeah. Speaking of turning 30, my body was sometimes, I don't know if you ever put in two a days, you probably don't, but
every now and then, yeah.
Oh, dude, sometimes on a two a day, it's rough. I ran a little 5 mile threshold run this morning and then had a lifting session in the afternoon, and my hips feel like I'm 50 and not 30.
Why do you run in the morning, lift in the afternoon? I'd always do it the other way around.
You would?
Yeah.
Tell me why.
Well, for one, I don't pair lower body days with running days.
Sure. It was lower bodies. So, yeah.
Well, I wouldn't do that. So I guess that ends our.
Okay. So here's my thinking on it. Currently, I'd have to get into the week layout of the program to kind of make it more justified and it really explain it. But essentially I needed some sort of lifting stimulus today, and but that lifting stimulus was also not the focus. It was, I did 9x3 back squat on a 90-second timer. And so it was a little bit more of a fatigue density sort of.
And you paired that with a run in the afternoon?
The 5 mile run this morning, yeah.
Why wouldn't you put the run on some other day where you're not?
Because I'm running I'm running 5 days a week and I'm lifting 4 days a week. So some of them have to cross over.
Mm, fair enough.
especially when I do a complete rest day on Sunday and just a Peloton ride on Thursday. So I have 5 days left to fit 4 lifts and 5 runs. It just is what it is when you're training at the volume I am. You have to, you know. But anyway, you should run the damn DSM with me.
I'm not going to do that.
Why not?
I'm busy.
You're not busy. It's on Saturday morning.
I'm busy not doing that.
It would be, I guess it would be like a month after the bachelor party. You'd be recovered by then.
Oh, for sure. I'll be recovered by Monday, man.
When is the triathlon that you're doing? Is there a date? Are you signed up for an official race?
August. It's in August, end of August.
So are you doing any running right now yet, or have you not started that yet?
Yeah. No, it's my least favorite of the three by far.
Oh, easily, dude. It is dog shit.
Yeah. Don't like it.
It hurts. And I'm not built to run at all. So swimming might actually not be too bad. I love the bike. Maybe I need to get into swimming more. My body would feel better, I'm sure. All right. That's all I got for tonight. What's for dinner?
I don't know. We'll see what's in the fridge, in the freezer.
Wow. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Cool.
Could be breakfast for dinner type of day. Oh. I always like a good breakfast for dinner day.
Just eggs, bacon, make some pancakes.
Got an avocado.
Ooh.
Do some a
little toast.
A little toast. I always like some Greek yogurt. Throw some berries, some granola, some honey in there.
Oh, yeah.
That's always a good time. Yeah.
Talk to me. Well, now everybody's hungry or horny or something. I don't know. Kevin describing that got me all worked up. Thank you guys for listening. Appreciate you all coming to the podcast and tuning in every Monday and Thursday. We will. You'll hear Logan Lee, one of my favorite episodes that we maybe have ever done. Logan Lee on Thursday.
And, top 10 for sure.
Yeah, you guys will enjoy that one immensely, and we're going to be having him back on. You'll hear the whole conversation soon. Until then, talk to you next time. Peace.
Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.